Our teacher sometimes quoted the last lines of verses by a late Victorian poet, Henley. Out of the night that covers me, dark as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods there be for my unconquerable soul. It matters not how strait the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And when we hear these words, provided we are reasonably comfortable, there's a tendency to sit back in the stall, so to speak, and go, brother, magnificent defiance of death. But of course we don't take it as real. He's long been dead. And the cynic said it was a puppy barking bravely in front of a steamroller. Was he master of his fate? But when our teacher quoted them, these were not to be word clouds, sometimes magnificent and splendid, sometimes dark and grey, but they were realities. It's essential that when we hear the holy texts, they should not become beautiful, inspiring poems without an actual reality. And this applies in many branches. Truth can become merely theory. The great scientist Eddington, as long ago as 1927, wrote a famous book, Nature of the Physical World, in which he gave the example of two tables. One is the substantial table on which we rest our papers and arms. And the other, just read, could you think?
My scientific table is mostly emptiness. Sparsely scattered in that emptiness are numerous electric charges rushing about with great speed. But their combined bulk amounts to less than a billionth of the bulk of the table itself.
Good, thank you. Now that's supposed to be the reality of the table, the scientific reality of it, and all the interesting features for us, such as its colour, its hardness, its steadiness, and its purpose, are all projections of the human mind through the sense organs and interpreted by the brain. But scientists themselves can't always remember that it's really a scientific table. A great philosopher scientist was put to him that consciousness is always present whenever we speak of reality. He said, oh no, I can easily imagine the time when Earth was simply a mass of blazing rocks and no consciousness whatever. He didn't see, he didn't remember that on his own theory, blazing rocks are projections of the human mind onto largely empty space with electrons whirling about. So all they could be there would be masses of configurations of empty spaces, which, if a human consciousness were there, would look like blazing rocks. But he didn't see that. In other words, although he's a well-known philosopher of science, he couldn't actually remember when it came to the point about his own theory. And in the same way, we're told that it must not degenerate into theory, which is not, in fact, taken in by us, but which remains a bare theory. The yoga philosophy, as you often hear from this platform and you read in the books, is that the universe is a superimposition, an illusory superimposition projected by the absolute. And if it's taken as real, that forms an ignorance which prevents us from seeing the absolute. To that extent, it is an illusion. Now, illusions are of two kinds, and it's quite important to remember the distinction between them. One of them has no actual basis, and the other has a basis of substratum. For no actual basis, think of Father Christmas. Now, this is a concept, an idea, which we teach to very small children to teach the virtues of generosity and kindness and a little thrill of excitement. And the reality of Father Christmas is spoken of. Yes, he comes down, well, he doesn't come down the chimney now. There aren't chimneys. He probably comes in through the aerial, down the aerial. But it teaches generosity and goodwill. And it has done. My father told me in World War I, the British and German soldiers wouldn't shoot at each other on Christmas Day. But nevertheless, it's an illusion. And when the children grow up, they're told, or they find out by themselves, there's no Father Christmas. So the illusion was imposed. It has a purpose, but then it's withdrawn. Now, this is one kind of illusion. There's no basis. Father Christmas could be short and fat, could be tall and thin, he could have blue boots. One time he was thought to have a sledge with reindeer riding above the clouds. All these things can be put on and taken off at will. There's another kind of illusion, and the classical example is given when you see in the half light a rope on the ground. And because your lamp with which you're moving is moving, the shadow of the snake moves, and therefore the rope seems to be a snake. Now that is an illusion of a snake where there's really a rope, but it has a substratum. That's to say, if the rope has a coil in it, then the snake you see has a coil in it. There's a correspondence. It's not just a free fantasy as Father Christmas. Now it's easy to confuse these two kinds of illusion. One with no substratum, which can be put on or taken off at one will, and the other with a substratum. Now, one of the methods of teaching by Shankaracharya is said to be superimposition, putting on things which are false, imaginary, fantastic ideas, and then removing them. So we put superimpositions onto the absolute and then remove them. That means liberation. Now, as an example of this, this is from a very reputable textbook on Advaita Balasubramanya.
We superimpose qualities and relations such as omniscience, omnipotence, causality, etc., on the absolute, as they help us to understand it to start with. This is the stage of superimposition. On closer examination, we find that the absolute, which is supersensuous, is free from qualities and relations, and so we negate it of all qualities and relations. This is the stage of negation.
This is the stage of negation.